that's true. And you're like, wait a second, they both looked at the same set of stars. Right? How about this one? Not to make a political statement, the temperature of the ocean. Okay. Two sets of scientists look at the temperature of the ocean. One set says, this is what's happening. And the other set says, world's coming to an end. This is what's happening. Right? Pick anyone. Pick marijuana. Right? I'm a little hot.
Right.
This piece of data says that marijuana can help you. This other group says marijuana is going to hurt you. Okay? Mm-hmm. Pick a topic like abortion. Why can we look at the same data and come with two sets of conclusions? What is it that's happening? What do you think?
Experience.
Okay.
What did you say?
How can we look at the same data? How can we look at the same data?
I was going to say experience.
How can we look at the same data and say, one group says, that means this. Mm-hmm. And the other group says, no, it means this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Because one group's a liar.
That's what the other group's saying too, right?
Wrong. Yeah.
Well, they're fools. They're wrong.
Those are good.
Right?
Those are good.
Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, seriously. Right? Come on. I could wrap up a dozen different things about your today. You know, pick up any news channel and say, you can make it a Republican-Democrat thing. You can make it a Trump-anti-Trump.
Right.
And, you know, in general, there's a bias we have about us. And, well, you know, actually, you know what the truth is? We have a conclusion we've already made. We've already determined, well, this is what I believe to be true. Right? So my reality says the earth is flat, the oceans, there's climate change, and pot's good for you. Right? So therefore, I'm going to look at all the data. I'm going to interpret it through that. Because the reason I'm questioning and asking that is like realizing we're all looking at the same set of texts, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We're all hearing Jesus say the same things. We're all observing what he did. There's the reality of what he did on the cross.
Yeah.
And yet I could look at, and scripture tells us, he finished what he came to do. He left nothing undone. He dealt with sin in totality, right? He said it was finished at the cross, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yet, I could probably say to you, the world's a mess.
Yep.
Right? So, the world's a mess. Why is the world a mess? Right? Why would... If Jesus finished it all, if Jesus rescued it all, if Jesus provided it all, why is the world a mess? I'm taking a long way around the mountain because we're going to get back into that. Remember, we've been systematically going through Jesus' revelation, introduction of the kingdom of heaven. He came and said, this is what it's all about. We'd kind of like been systematically taking us to this place in Matthew 6 where he says, tells us how to pray, about how to be. And I thought, yeah, but we're all looking at the same thing. The Catholics, the evangelicals, the non-believers are all looking at the same thing. The history, they're looking at the text, they're hearing the story, the stories of Jesus, right? But yet it still seems like it's a mess. And we could sit here with our religious hats on and probably say, okay, well, it's a mess because fill in the blank. Right? We might say, well, not enough people are doing what he said. They're not obeying the rules. He told us, yes, I came here to fix all these things, but there's some requirements. There's some obligations for me to step in and change to do this stuff for you. Or we might say, well, yeah, Danny, but there's still sin.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There's still the presence of sin. And I thought, you know, I think it's simpler than that.
Mm-hmm.
Simpler, but harder too at the same time, I guess. It's like, just like two scientists can look at the stars or look at the oceans or look at whatever and make conclusions. It's like, if there's two kingdoms, is it possible that because We have these biases that we have about our experience, that how we interpret what he says, how we understand what he's telling us, this reality of what's true about him is being massively influenced by who we are, what we believe about ourselves.
Yeah. And
the reason I was thinking about it was, again, we'll get back to Matthew 6 in a second. The story of the prodigal son, which, so you know, if I was to open the story of the prodigal son, I know I've talked about it before, but the first verse of the story in Luke, it says this. It says, a certain man, a father, had two sons. Okay, stop. You never heard the story before.
Mm-hmm.
What's the story about? A father and what?
Two sons.
A father and two sons. You've never heard the story before. I just told you the first verse.
Right.
A father had two sons.
Mm-hmm.
Now yet, when you open up your Bible, you ever seen these things that
right.
you know, like in here that have these, like, this one's a scroll being read in the temple. This one's the model prayer, Matthew 6. Right in the middle of the chapter, you have these things. This one's fasting for God, laying up treasures in heaven, the lamp of the body. Right? There's, you know that in our text, we don't have all those chapters in the original text.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what we also don't have? Those words.
Those words.
Fasting
right.
to be seen only by God. This one
right.
says, do not worry. This one says, you cannot serve God in riches. Those pieces of text are called, there's actually a word called pericope.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It represents this, kind of like this section of text that has a beginning and an end.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So there's a story that where it starts, the father, there was a father who had two sons. And if I didn't do anything about that story, I would tell you, oh, I'm going to hear a story about a father with two sons. But you know what our text says?
Mm-hmm.
The story of the prodigal son.
Mm-hmm.
So now, yeah. now, what's the story about?
The prodigal son.
The bad one. What just happened to me?
Yes.
I haven't even started.
Right.
It already has
and I've been influenced and said, oh, I'm going to hear a story here. And it's about this bad son.
Right.
Isn't that interesting?
Mm.
The story starts, a father had two sons. And in this understanding of the text, I get this thing that says, the story of the prodigal son. So immediately, there's an influence upon me that says, here's what you should be pulling out of this story, Danny. There's a bad guy here. There's a disobedient son who's rebellious. You need to pay attention, because this is the message. There's an obedient son here. You know, the truth is, there were two sons in this story. And both sons didn't get it. That's a better way of saying it. Thanks, Dee. Both sons didn't connect with him as father.
Right.
Both sons... didn't have an understanding of how much their father loved them. Both sons.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And one said, I don't need this. He goes this way. The other one says, I'm going to work to earn it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? A certain father had two sons.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So neither brother received his love. And so I was wondering, in this thing of Jesus says, this is the kingdom of heaven. Been telling us what it's all about. And it's clearly the most powerful thing we've ever heard.
Yeah.
Right? It's subversive. It's radical. It's just shift away from everything we've understood to be, to make even fundamental sense. Because the church has always said, da, 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 da. Right? This is how it works. So he's trying to get us this understanding. And I'm wondering... if we're getting hints from Jesus as he's starting to share these stories about when he says the kingdom of heaven is like,
right.
and he tells us a story, the kingdom of heaven is like, and we hear about searching, we hear about treasures, we hear about a father had two sons,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And is it possible in this understanding of life, this thing that we would call reality even, there really are only two ways to interpret?
Mm-hmm.
We're one of those sons. There's, or maybe I'll say it this way. We're either sons or we're not sons.
Mm-hmm.
How about that? Put that way. Because
I
don't want to connect it with prodigal son just yet. We're either sons or we're not sons.
Right.
Jesus, God said that verse we just read in Galatians 4, right? It says, because you're sons, he sent his spirit to help you, remind you of that, to help connect you with that.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're, you know, what's a word for the opposite of sun? What would you?
Cold.
Sure.
I mean, hot or cold.
Yeah. What would be the opposite of a sun?
Orphan.
That's perfect. All right, let's go with orphan. Right, because an orphan is disconnected.
Mm-hmm.
An orphan feels alone.
Yep.
In fact, his only awareness is being alone. He doesn't have a father at all. In fact, there's probably some anger about a father figure. Because he was left alone. Maybe he feels rejected. So you've got all sorts of issues in this person's life about feeling like an orphan, right? So there's either, let's just say it, there's either sons or orphans. So Jesus is telling us this is the kingdom of heaven, and we're going to step into this. And I think Jesus is saying, are you going to listen to what I'm telling you and come to it with this bias or understanding of an orphan? Or are you going to come to it with the understanding of a son? Why do I say that? Because I'm convinced that the devil's plan is to confuse you or to lie to you about your acceptance as a son.
Yeah.
Right? Singularly. If I can get you confused about your connection to Father, right? That you're alone in this game, that you have nothing to lean into, there's no sense of family or kingdom resource to tap into, right? If I can get you confused about your identity, then I think he would say, I win. Right? And that's what the devil's game plan is. So if there's only two realities, and when I, by the way, when I say sons, we're not gender mad, right? And we're not gender confused. I'm talking girls too. Right?
Neutral.
We're family, right? That's a gender neutral statement, right? Sons and daughters, right? So to the degree that you're still wrestling with sonship, to the degree that you feel I'm still trying to wake up to this, to the degree that you don't kind of like own this, is to the degree that you're accepting orphan. Right? So I'm one person, and I'm learning to wake up to live totally as son. Right? What am I getting rid of? Orphan. I'm getting rid of orphan. Right? And so I've got life experiences that keep lying to me about orphan kind of things, orphan thoughts. Orphan biases, orphan understanding. So when I get the debt collector phone call, when I get the medical report, right, my orphan side of me says, this is an impossible situation. I've got to go, right? I don't lean into heaven. I'm alone. I'm angry. I'm depressed. I'm rejected. I try to deal with life. Fear, right? So there's two things. And so the enemy's trying to get us confused, just like, and we, again, the keys, just follow the text in the gospel. First thing, he comes upon Jesus. Boom. If you're the Son of God, if I can get you right there, then you don't have anything to lean into, right? And God's like, look, I'm not buying into any of your game. I know who I am. I'm confident of who I am. I am the Son of God, so I'm not playing any of this, okay? So, we have a bias about us that still has this orphan kind of mentality, this orphan kind of thing, this DNA. In fact, it looks a lot like a slave mentality, right? Because how does a slave operate?
That's what he's told.
Yeah, he absolutely. It's like
he doesn't think for himself.
He doesn't. Right. It's like the boss said this.
Right.
That's all I get to do.
Mm-hmm.
There's no understanding or thought that I have family here. There's no connection with family. I don't have a mindset that says, wow, I'm in, Papa and I get to go do things together, right? And so the thought of, you know what, my dad would want this. He does. A slave isn't creative. A slave doesn't like have experienced freedom to go, it's okay, I know what his heart is.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The slave only knows, I just said, sit there and dig. Right? I'm not creative and wondering, exploring and identifying opportunities, right? I only do what I've been told to do, right? So there's this whole thing about, am I connecting with him? Because I really feel like, even in the church, I can look at, quote, believers who are doing really good things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you would say, oh, they're feeding the sick, they're giving to widows, they're whatever. You can make a list of, oh, look at all the good things they're doing. And you would say, well, that's biblical. And they are. It is. Right? But somehow in the midst of all that, they don't know him. It's
right.
Like they have this,
yeah.
They have this, it's like we're imitating this life. That's a great way of saying it, but not living it. Right? I'm doing what I think is the right answer, but I'm not experiencing
right.
This enjoyment and freedom
yes.
of being a son.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Okay. In fact, we're...
play acting.
Yeah, oh, that's a great way of saying it too. We're play acting, right? And I could probably pull out
groups.
Lots and lots of ways of describing that. In fact, there's... In fact, didn't we looked at a verse last week about
hypocrites,
right? Remember, hypocrites was a word about actors,
yeah.
Right?
I mean,
so there's this. We have the slave has this I have to thought,
yeah.
Or there's punishment,
yeah.
Right? Because I get punished if I disobey.
Yeah.
Whereas the son, it's like I know who I am, and I'm enjoying this. I'm enjoying the strength of family, and I know what that means for me. I know what resource I get to draw from. I know what love looks like, right? So there's a sense of security and peace and strength
mm-hmm.
from that place,
yep.
Right? So there's this response we have, right? So, in fact, Jesus is wake up the community. Because he knows you're trapped in this orphan spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You're trapped in this other reality. It's lying to you about who you really are.
Mm-hmm.
In John's gospel, he says it this way. He says, no longer do I call you
servants.
I don't call you servants anymore. He said, for a servant doesn't know what his master's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because, all right, he's living by rules. And he says, I've called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I've made known to you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's go back to Matthew 6. Jesus says this. Pray this way. He says, pray this way. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, right? So I put on my orphan hat, and I hear Jesus said, pray this way.
Ah.
And my orphan hat says, the master said, I better do this.
Right.
I better not deviate here. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, and my only understanding is with the bias of an orphan,
it's just words.
All I hear is just do this, just do this, just do this.
Right.
Don't explore, don't create, just do this, just do this, just do this. And if I do just this, I'll get this reward that he's talking about.
Right,
okay,
right.
Here's what's ironic, right? Because the very verse before he says, "Pray this way," the very verse, one verse before it, Jesus says, "When you pray, don't use vain repetitions."
That's the same thing
as the heathens do.
Right.
He said, "They think they'll be heard for their many words."
Yeah.
Don't be like them.
Mm-hmm.
For your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. What did he just say? Don't. You're not an orphan. You're not a slave. No, stop. He goes, it's like, I want you to come and connect with me as a son.
Yeah.
Don't pray this way. And he says, so in this manner pray, right? Father, our Father in heaven, right? And we got into that last week about... Father in heaven, right? And this connection of intimacy. But so Jesus says at the conclusion of this whole thing in the next chapter, and we'll see what happens next week, but when he's talking about this thing that we would call the Sermon on the Mount, which is it's like his grand opus.
Yeah.
right? Come on, kids. You're all my kids. Wouldn't you love like a YouTube moment? We sit here and have, sorry, but
yeah.
We just, all we know is we've had preacher after preacher after preacher tell us, blessed are these and blessed are that's and,
mm-hmm.
and this means this and don't do that and oh, pray this way and don't, and it's like, I wonder if Jesus, it's like, I understand the, how it's packed in the story, but it's like, is it possible that Jesus is sitting on the hillside and he's talking to them just like this?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You're my kids.
Yeah.
Right.
And they're shocked, right? They're just like, what? And it comes out like this, blessed are the da-da-da. And we sit here 2,000 years later to reinterpret what he said with our bias, with this influence upon us of trying to earn connection. If Jesus was so radical, we would have sat there and gone, wow, that they're just literally shocked, right, at this amazing revelation. Jesus says at the end of this discourse, at the end of chapter 7, he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, remember that part of scripture? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. We know the kingdom of heaven is here now. So he's talking about the freedom, the privilege, the excitement, the joy, the fruit of walking in this revelation of knowing that you're his son. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody who says to me, Lord, Lord, is going to enjoy that.
Mm-hmm.
That revelation, right? He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Cast out demons in your name? Done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, right? You who practice lawlessness.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We can get all radical and churchy and religious, but what he's saying is, I'm not partnering with orphans, right? Don't come to me with this. It's like, I'm not here looking for a slave.
Right.
That's gonna just do my bidding.
Right.
I'm looking for sons and daughters.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And just because you're doing the good things that people are telling you, hey, be aware of your image, right? Go do those things. He says, you know, what I'm looking for in this whole thing is you. I'm looking for you. And I mean, if you really want to know what he wants from us, is us. I mean, it's always been about this, wow, I just want to connect with you. And that word, when he says about, I never knew you, for the Greek, it was this word, gnosko. And it's this intimate, relational, it's not a knowing of, you can recite the data. It's not a, you memorize scripture. It's not a, you've got all the answers to the Bible trivia quiz.
Right.
It's the, you know my heart. You know what makes me come alive. It's the thing that makes me giggle and laugh in the home. It's like you can sit here and describe the heart of your family, right? So Jesus is saying, it's like, man, I just want to connect with you in such a way that you and I would both say, I know you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you could probably even go so far to say, you know, the evangelical church would tell you that Jesus came to, quote, save you. True, right? True. I'm not sure we agree, understand what salvation, what he's saving us from.
Mm-hmm.
I think the, quote, saving us is from the false reality. Right? The misidentification of who we are. So the salvation is the revelation and waking up to our identity as sons.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That the gospel is almost singularly about sonship.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
We make it about forgiveness. In other words,
right,
the story of the prodigal son, you need to understand you're all bad.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You're all bad. And
right,
you need to be forgiven of your badness.
Yeah.
Right? And therefore, I'm always on a journey of penance, or making amends,
mm-hmm.
or correcting my wrongs, or paying back, right? Because that's what we believe about the, quote, prodigals. And he says, oh, the journey is about adoption, right? So perhaps a better way of understanding forgiveness and salvation is that Jesus has always been about the revelation of the sons,
mm-hmm.
right?
Exposing our light.
In fact, you could say we were forgiven to, so we could become, or we could see, we could have this understanding of being sons and daughters,
mm-hmm.
right? It's almost like the thought of being a son of the king, it's not of being his son, it's like, I'm too ashamed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm too whatever. The forgiveness is removing that. It's like,
mm-hmm.
no, I see you this way, you don't see you this
right.
way. Right? So the forgiveness, the reason he releases forgiveness is so you could see yourself that way. Right? It says in Ephesians 1, he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. It's always been about sonship. Jesus answered in John 5, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father doing. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things. He gives lost phone numbers to his kids. Right? He gives mysteries and keys to his kids. Right?
Yeah,
he goes...
Amazingly, we were just reading something last night in one of the books due on Tuesdays. And that was the message. It was about a, I believe his name is Saul, and he had lost three donkeys. And he went on a trip to find those three donkeys, and he ran into, I believe it was Samuel.
Oh, right, yes.
And what Samuel and God were trying to do was, this guy is so worried about life events and his three donkeys that he wasn't who God wanted him to be, and Samuel was trying to relate to him, and God was trying to bring him out, the person God created him to be,
right.
to bring him out.
Isn't that great?
That's
so
good.
Here
so,
you are.
So Jesus is telling us, it's like, my sons do great things. Jesus did great things. Jesus did impossible things. Jesus did radical things. My sons do great things. And go do great things. And one of our challenges is we have this thought in our head that says, really logical, but I'm not Jesus. So right there, orphan thought or son thought? What is that? It's an orphan thought, right? But I'm not Jesus. Because, right? I'm not his son. Scripture says, I've adopted you as my sons. Scripture says, you're my son. Scripture says, my inheritance is yours. I'm giving it to you, right? So when we say, but I'm not Jesus, we have this false humility thing that in the church it's like, right? And everybody goes, good for you. You recognize that you're lower than, right? I would tell you, right, one of the biggest lies on the planet, it's causing you to not step into your risk. It's causing you to not walk out in this growing understanding of being his kid. It's causing you to step away from the full resource of heaven. It's causing you to step back from the power he has given to you, right? All, because the very thing that Satan challenged Jesus on, if I could get him to disconnect from Father, then he can never be successful. He can't usher in this kingdom, right?
Mm.
When I say, I'm not Jesus, right? This enemy goes, I win, right? Because
it's like we did his work for him.
Right.
Right.
So it's like, you know, so this always gets taken wrong And so anything you always put out on that gets on the internet, here you go. Yes, you are. Jesus says, as I am, so are you. Right? The baton was passed from God's son to his adopted sons. And said, you have the full resource of heaven. You have everything I gave to him, and more. Because he's released the Holy Spirit to you, which is like this, like steroids, right? For this confirmation of walking in the power and strength of a son, right? His spirit connects with us and our spirit, and it's reminding us, crying out, Abba, Abba. It's almost, it's like this, this continual release, this continual stream reminding you, you're his son, you're his son, you're his son. Right? Because the enemy's game plan is to get you to question that and doubt that. Mm-hmm. Right?
Well, and isn't that how Jesus actually did it also? Right? Isn't it Philippians that it says Jesus, he's fully God, but he emptied himself of all of that, and he responded to God. Everything he did in his life and ministry was responding to God out of being a son. He emptied all of the glory of heaven.
That's it. Excellent.
And
right?
He operated out of this sonship.
God, Jesus came to show us, he's, it's like, yes, fully God, but fully man. He showed you this. It's possible to live just like, as you, connected to Father. Right? Galatians, he says it this way, you're no longer a slave, but a son. Galatians 4:7, you're no longer a slave, but a son, and an heir of God through Christ. So sons, sons are, what's the word for, I was going to say shareholders. I mean, they're like, they have a seat at the company board, right? They're drawing from the benefit of the full family. They're not employees, right? They're not working for wages. They're fully invested in the family business. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I just that thought as we were stepping through, you know, the Beatitudes and this great revelation of that Jesus is giving us of the kingdom of heaven, that, you know, two people can step in and hear the same things mm-hmm. we've been talking about that Jesus is revealing. And because we have this bias, because we have this misunderstanding of who we are, we can hear the same sermon. We can hear the same set of text, the same truth. I could say the same thing about kingdom living, but if you receive it as an orphan, right, it has a radically different conclusion than if you receive it as a son, right? So, just alerting you, I guess I would say, that it's all about adoption, it's all about sonship, and so. As you're reading your text, as you're engaging in the Word, maybe a good place to always start is we invite Holy Spirit, right? You always say, God, I don't get it. Show me. Right. Holy Spirit, reveal the text to me. Add to your prayer, Holy Spirit, remind me I'm a daughter. Remind me I'm a son mm-hmm. today. And because, look, the truth is, the enemy's attacks against you are always going to start there. If I can get you thinking like an orphan, I've disconnected you from your resource. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In essence, I've disconnected you from family. Mm-hmm. Right? And so we just say, Holy Spirit, this week, just remind us of the beauty of family. Mm-hmm. God, I just pray that the revelation of sons and daughters is so alive this week that the lie, the confusion, any orphan thinking, any thoughts of we're working to impress you, God, just disappears. That we just actually this week enjoy the beauty of connecting with you and knowing you. Mm-hmm. God, remind us that we make you laugh. That you love to hang out with us, you like to dance with us, you like to sing with us. God, I just pray for freedom this week, that that servant mentality disappears. God, that we something stirs inside of us that we're your kids, God, and we love playing with your resources. We love connecting with your resources. We love being just beacons of the love that you showed us. So, God, this week, just shake off lies, just sweep them away in Jesus' name, God. Amen.
Amen.